WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It seems like we're going to have a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. So, there is that. Spurs are going to win this one. It's going to be Saturday. So... see how that goes. Chat, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, on the WildTalkRadio.com, RecordRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/StuffWithYourLife. To interact with us live tonight, because tonight we preview Clash in Italy, which is this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, live on ESPN. The first hour on ESPN Unlimited. And Netflix, internationally.
Do the Knicks need to get Danhausen back?
No, the Knicks have already moved on. They're in the East.
Oh, okay.
This is the West.
Oh, this is the West. Okay.
Yeah, Knicks swept Cleveland out.
I know the Knicks swept, but like I didn't know if they were playing again. So I was like, do they need
No. The finals start next week.
Oh.
So they're waiting for this series to, I think next Wednesday they start.
Got it. I don't keep up with the basketballs.
Yeah, I do because it's currently on TV right now. So we're watching that one as we do the show tonight because we got stuff to talk about tonight. And one story tonight that we're talking about, I don't think anyone saw coming.
Depending on what it is, no. No, we did not. Is it the Brant one?
No, it's the bottom story, the one you put together.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. No one saw that one coming.
No, no one did see that one coming. So starting at the top with WWE, Nature's Own, the nation's number one selling loaf brand bread, has introduced a new, simpler recipe across its entire product portfolio and its refreshed brand look to reflect its commitment to real soft bread. To spread the word, the brand has tapped actor and retired professional wrestler John Cena as the official breadicator.
Breadicator? Breaducator.
Breaducator?
Yeah.
Breaducator. He's doing ASMR with bread. That's a phrase I never thought I would ever say in my life.
Like, what else is he what isn't he the voice or face of these days?
He got a fucking great agent, man. Like, he's killing it.
He's all over car commercials.
He's the voice of Honda.
The voice of Honda. He's now the Breaducator. There's this other, like, he's on everything.
Hefty.
There was another car one or money one or something like that he's doing.
It's a money one, yeah.
Like, he's everywhere. And also, he is the face of Club WWE. Let's not forget about that one.
You know what? Honestly, good on him. Like, if he can make it as a voice actor, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for him. So, but yeah, he's the breducator for Nature's Own.
So, congratulations, John Cena. Moving on to AEW, a new pay-per-view has just been announced. AEW Redemption will take place Sunday, July 26th in Montreal. Tickets will go on sale June 1st.
Yeah, they had a new pay-per-view to the schedule, so fill in the gap. What?
Please don't reference the screw job, please. Redemption in Montreal.
At the Bell Center.
Don't do the thing. Please don't do
So you mean whoever MJF ends up defending the title against is going to be, there's going to be a screwjob attempt? You think that's going to happen?
Maybe.
They needed this other pay-per-view because they're kind of, it's weird because now it's like WWE, it's like when WWE does like Chamber before WrestleMania or something before some, right? Like 3 weeks before SummerSlam. It kind of takes away from that big show, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice window where they're doing Forbidden Door at the end of June. And then you had all this build to All in London at the end of August. It's like, you got 2 months to kind of build to your biggest show. I don't know why. And again, it goes to the weird thing of, okay, so you have 8 people working through a tournament to get a title shot. That title shot's going to be figured out at the end of June. Now some random person's going to get a title match in July. I mean, they're going to do pay-per-views whenever they can, but it's like one of those, well, you're doing this tournament and it ends 2 months before. I don't know. It's weird. Be a good show. They'll probably have Edge and Christian or Cope and Christian headline another Canadian show. So
they can get their cameras and do their 5 seconds of flash photography.
They did that on Wednesday and got beat up.
I saw that.
They pulled out actual old cameras.
I saw that. They got the old cameras out. And I was like, oh, it's the old disposable cameras.
That Edge just so happened to buy 25 years ago before they went out of stock and just had them readily available for that moment exactly.
I think you can still buy disposable cameras, can't you?
Yeah, but that was the joke. Anyway.
But you can only go to like a CVS and get them developed. Like, you don't have the...
Yeah, you don't have the, there's no stores that do that.
I don't think the grocery stores do it anymore.
When did the grocery, it's been a long time since grocery stores have done it.
It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute since they've done it. But I remember they used to, because I used to take my photos over there all the time to get developed. I don't think they do them anymore. I think
CVS and Walmart.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
That's what came up in a Google search. CVS
and Walmart. Like, damn, times have changed. We're old.
They sure have.
Yep, they have. Speaking of times are changing and things going out of stock, AEW content will no longer be available on NJPW World in Japan. AEW content, Wars Are Hard, available to users in Japan and comprising editions of AEW Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, and Battle of the Belts, as well as AEW Now, will no longer be available on New Japan World following the conclusion of the current contract term on August 31st, 2026. Further new editions of AEW Dynamite and Collision will no longer be available to New Japan World as of the end of June. For new episodes from July onward, fans in Japan can view My AEW.
And go sign up for the app and website and stuff to get those content there. Yeah, there's a change of ownership for New Japan and stuff with Bushiroad or whatever selling it to a TV company, selling part to TV company, so rights changing and such.
Yeah.
So that's where the content's going to be. So it's just a great timing because it happens right after Forbidden Door.
My God, it's as if they planned it, which they probably didn't, but you know.
Timing.
Hell of a coincidence. Moving on. Here's the story that nobody saw coming. Big Damo and Nikki Cross have acquired Progress Wrestling.
And also, and Defy Wrestling as well here in the States.
And Defy Wrestling here in the States. So in a seismic shift for British and Irish wrestling, two globally renowned figures are coming home. Damian Mackle, an internationally known wrestler and former star Killian Dane, and his Big Damo, and his wife Nikki Glencross, also known as Nikki Cross and Nikki Storm, fresh off a decade-long tenure with WWE, are taking ownership of Progress Wrestling, the UK's premier independent wrestling promotion, as well as Defy Wrestling, one of the biggest independent promotions in the States. And I think they are taking full ownership. They're not taking part. I think they fully own it from the previous people who owned it, which...
Yeah, because I think Progress, like, closed, or...
Yeah, they got into, like, financial trouble. So, like, it was Martin Best and Lee McAteer, however you say his name.
Yeah, so they're going to be co-owners of this promotion, of Progress.
Yeah, but what happened is, I think after WWE pulled out of UK, or the... basically the UK promotion, Progress kind of got in a little bit of financial trouble. And I think there was like something that happened with the owner where he got in some kind of scandal or something like that. And they got in financial trouble. And they shut down, I think, earlier this year. And now they're back because Nikki and Damo have bought in.
Yeah, we are very excited to be... Oh, so they're just the new co-owners. Yeah. And they're also doing the co-owners of the Five. So it's like, they're UK and Ireland, and this is like Pacific Northwest, Defy is. That's their territory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like complete opposite ends of the spectrum when you really think about it. But yeah, that's great that they're planting their flags in wrestling. They're staying in the business, using everything they've learned to kind of build up the next generation of US wrestlers and British wrestling. So
definitely.
So you posted the story in our group chat. I was like, huh, I didn't see this one coming. Because you thought Nikki would just go, oh, she'd do her, like, you know, indie tour, and that'd be it, and they can work together, whatever. But now they get to actually change the business and shape it the way they want.
Which is good, because you always want, especially on the indie level competition, and it would be if they decide to move back home, which they may decide to do, it will be easy territory for them. What happens to the US promotion? I don't know how they're going to split their time, but you know, if they decide to go back to the UK, Progress is perfect for them, and they can run that territory, and then, you know, who knows, maybe WWE opens UK there, maybe they get in business with WWE, or maybe they just do their own thing, who knows, or maybe they get in business with AEW, who knows. But you know,
but it's good for the UK scene, it'll be good for the Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest scene. It's good for wrestling because it's different voices controlling the landscape. And this is people who have been in the business for almost two decades having a voice.
Yep.
They know what works. And go from there. It looks like they'll be starting up next year or something like that.
Yeah.
Or towards the end of this year.
Let's see where they go. Yeah, 2027. We'll be announcing that next year in 2027, we'll host the first standalone female Super Strong Style 16. So that's going to be next year, and so
they'll figure it out. They'll probably spend the next few months kind of building in it. They don't have to rush into anything.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, you've got to rebuild your roster, so you've got to figure out who's available, who you can use, who you want to bring in. You've got to sort of like reestablish everything, because they were running, like Progress was running. It was just not running as it was like before the pandemic, and according to this, that's really kind of what shut it down, was the pandemic.
Never mind.
And then like
the first show will be June 7th at the O2 okay. Ritz Academy. There's one more page. The first show will be June 7th at the O2 Ritz Academy, Chapter 195, Wonder Brawl 2, followed by the undoubted excitement of Homecoming Show in London at the Electric Ballroom.
Get your tickets soon. They're probably already on sale.
They should be on sale. So, congrats.
So, progresswrestling.com. Go check it out. Ding! Brent. Let's do the blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
couldn't help himself. He just.
I mean, I think people are rejoicing over this one.
People are rejoicing over this one, but like he just couldn't help himself. Logan Paul is out with a torn tricep.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He should be out at least 6 months, he says, with the injury.
Austin has not had to vacate the tag titles. I think he's sharing them with Braun, and that's how they're going forward on that.
Until one of them gets hurt, yeah.
Well, okay. It's what? Austin's turn? I think he's the only one that hasn't, knock wood, and I'm not wishing that on him at all, but he's like the only one so far that hasn't gotten hurt. Like, Braun's gotten hurt, Logan's gotten hurt, Braun's gotten hurt, like technically twice since the start of the gimmick. So yeah, Austin's the only one that hasn't gotten hurt, so he's the good one. He's the last man standing. So good luck, Logan. He had surgery. He was showing off his surgery scars, and I believe he's in the process of recovering now. So he should be back by the end of the year, which may not be a bad thing.
Royal Rumble season.
There you go. I say we take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about Clash in Italy, which is this weekend.
It's
I thought I had Sunday. A teaser, like, I'm sorry.
This season, this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
There we go. All right, so you're listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back with Clash in Italy, which is this Sunday on the Netflixes on the ESPNs in the United States and the Netflixes abroad. It would make it so much easier if they would just put everything on goddamn Netflix. I don't have to remember platforms.
Well, you only have to remember... You just need to remember ESPN because that's what for you. Everyone else can figure out their own platform. It's on ESPN number one, the first hour at 2 p.m. Eastern, which will feature Cody and Gunther and I forget the other match. But I know Cody and Gunther will probably kick off the show.
Probably, yeah. Let's see, does Wiki say what's being featured? Just not. But anyway, this is a stacked, and I mean a stacked card. Italy's eating good, man. They're getting some good matches on this card. So
the other one is Rhea and Jade. That will be on ESPN.
Ah, okay. Perfect. Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Feature two big championship matches on the main channel of ESPN. For those questioning, oh, the ESPN and WWE, ESPN's very happy with them.
Yeah.
They promote it like crazy. They create commercials featuring like Star Wars and Disney Plus for it with featuring WWE content. It's kind of weird when you see it.
Yeah, it is.
But no, it's promoted all the time. They wouldn't put it on the main channel if they weren't behind the WWE product. Just saying. Anyway, let's get into some matches.
Like I said, this is a stacked card. So I'm just going to start from the bottom and work my way up, or do you want to start at the top?
I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just rolling with what you got.
All right, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Let's talk about it. The elephant in the room, or should I say the beast in the room, making his shocking return to Clash in Italy after he quasi-retired at WrestleMania. We have one Brock Lesnar challenging Oba Femi to a singles match. This is a matter of pride for Brock because, well, he's a little mad that he got beat by Oba. And he's coming back and he wants revenge and he wants to put Oba in his place.
I mean, that's the best type of storytelling.
He's the best. I said when this all happened, when Brock retired, that the only reason I would accept Brock coming back is if he basically is pissed that he got beat.
Yeah,
and that's exactly why he's back, is he's pissed that he got beat, that he got humiliated and he couldn't live with it. And so now he's coming back. So I am fine with this.
So my favorite thing that came out today, the news items that came out today about Brock was he is scheduled for after Clash of Italy, but they don't know when. But we for sure know he won't be on Saturday night's main event in July.
Well, of course not. Why would he?
No shit. Yes, it's in Madison Square Garden, but no shit, he's not going to be on set. They're not making money for these shows. They're making a little bit of money, but it's not like they have the big budgets for Saturday night's main event.
They just ask people to take a pay cut. Do you know how much money they have to pay Brock Lesnar every time that man shows up?
Yeah,
like, because I promise you, he's not one of the ones that took the pay cut.
No.
So,
and even the people who took the pay cut are still making millions.
Yes.
Just for the record. As far as this match goes, I feel like people really believe Brock's winning. He could. Just like we said, he could at WrestleMania. He could. But it does more harm than good for him to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about Brock anymore. It's about Oba and keeping the momentum of Oba going.
Mm-hmm.
Brock is not someone who cheats to win.
Nope.
So it's like you don't pull that shenanigans there. You don't want to watch Oba get beat clean.
Nope.
Like, I know they were throwing around it ends in a no contest. Like, but that doesn't that's a cop out. Yeah, it's a cop out. You don't do that. You don't need that as the finish.
Mm-mm.
Because you can get to a third match if you want a third match where you put stakes on the line, even with Brock losing, because that's the what they call desperation of a man's ego, that he needs to do something to get to him. He needs to find out.
It's kind of sort of the tale of when Brock fought Oba the first time, he underestimated Oba and he wasn't prepared for what he was facing, and he got beat. And like I said before, he went home, he sat with it, he couldn't deal with it, and so he prepared himself for what he wants to do. And he's now, in his mind, ready for Oba Femi. And he's going to challenge Oba Femi again, thinking this is going to be an easy victory because, you know, he went home, and he trained, and he watched tape, and he prepared, even though none of this has been said. We're all implying this, but, like, basically Brock got his shit together and actually prepared for this. He did his homework for once. And now he wants Oba Femi. And I'm going to agree with you. I think Brock winning does more harm than good. I think it does more damage, because then how do you get to the third match? Do you have Oba be like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to challenge you again just for the sake of my pride? Story you're going to tell. It's the story of pride.
It's like it's one and one. And like, okay, you get to the match, but no, you're not.
Like, I'm going to agree with what.
The worst thing in wrestling is doing 50-50 booking for the sake of just getting mm-hmm. to somewhere, because that's not the purpose right now. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you want to go back and forth and have evenly matched things with two established stars. This, you're trying to make someone, which is why 50-50 booking doesn't work.
Anyway, what I was going to say was, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it was you or somebody else who said it on Sunday, having Brock win purely for 50-50 purposes, purely to recover the win, makes Oba look like a fluke. It's incredibly damaging, and you don't take him as seriously. Like, the amount of momentum Oba has behind him right now. You have people doing the strut. You have people buying the merch. You have people all about Oba Femi. You have a star on your hands.
You do.
And you did it at WrestleMania. You made him at WrestleMania. And now you're building him. And you're building him in to a serious main event competitor, so by potentially next year he could be looking at winning the Royal Rumble and going to the main event of WrestleMania. That is a very real possibility for him if you keep this momentum up and if you do it properly.
You know what they, you know how back in the day they do the kiss cam?
Mm-hmm.
They have the Oba strut cam.
Yep.
I mean, if that doesn't say, probably because everything's sponsored, but that's beside the point. But they do the strut cam. Like, if that doesn't say where his stock is, I don't know what else does. So anyway, I'm going Oba Femi.
I think Brock's going to get upset again. I think Oba wins. I think it's clean. I will just, like, it makes all sense to me logically that Oba wins. And Brock once again is like, WTF. What do you mean what I did wasn't enough? Like, that's the real story behind all of this, is Brock hasn't had to prepare for an opponent in years, right? He just rolls up, does Brock things, leaves. Brock has not had to prepare for an opponent like this, because nobody's been able to challenge him physically like this. So it's like, you know, he goes home, he trains for 3 months, he comes back, and Oba still beats him. Maybe not as soundly, maybe not like a drum like what he did at WrestleMania.
Did you say 3 months?
Yeah.
It's been like 6 weeks.
Oh, has it been 6 weeks? Okay, fine, 6 weeks.
Like, WrestleMania was the end of April. Like,
I keep thinking it's in March. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like you said 3 months. I was like, huh, that time really flew then.
Yes, it did. I've lived a month and a week, okay? Anyway, 6 weeks. Okay, fine. He went home and he trained for 6 weeks. Whatever. That's even less time. But he's still prepared. The point is, he's still prepared.
Oh,
and he's still going to get beat.
He's still going to get beat.
And so he's going to go away potentially for another 6 weeks, or he's going to go away until August. And then he's going to come back, and then he's going to be like, I want you one more time. And Oba's going to be like, all right, I'll fight you, but you have to give me something in return. And this is where I'm going to plead with WWE. I get that Gunther is the retirement guy. I completely understand that. I respect it. However, I'm going to say what I said at WrestleMania. Let Oba have this. Let him be the one that retires Brock, because that will do so many wonderful things for him. If he is the one that actually conquers the beast, you can put that on shirts. You can put that on merch. You can have him. He can do the whole like 21-in-1 bullshit, except I retired the beast. And they still talk about that shit however many years later. So it's something that it's a feather in Oba's cap that he can carry with him throughout his career, that he can reference back to. It cements him as a main eventer, as a player, as a threat to the people on top. Because if Oba can conquer Brock, who's to say he can't conquer, say, Roman? Who's to say he can't conquer Cody? Or if Gunther beats Cody at some point, he can't conquer Gunther. Like, it puts all of your main event players on notice that, hey, this guy is legit. And we already knew that. But, like, firmly, completely, that this dude beat Brock Lesnar potentially 3 times and retired him, and had Brock so desperate by the end that Brock was willing to sacrifice his career just at a chance to beat this guy. That's an amazing story to tell. So for all those reasons, keep Gunther the fuck out of it. Please just give it to Oba. Let Oba do the thing. Let him be the one to retire Brock Lesnar. Please. If Brock Lesnar is going to retire, like, just let him do the thing.
So
please,
before we get we put the picks on record so Brent can write them down. The funniest Brock Lesnar story was he did a meet and greet today at a Home Hardware in Saskatchewan. He doesn't do meet and greets. He did some sort of meet and greet because he's selling grilling pellets for your grill.
Oh.
I find that funny. He does one random meet and greet.
He's
got to push product. Anyway, officially, I'm going Oba Femi.
I am officially going Oba Femi. April? What? Brock? Most likely.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1 is Oba Femi.
All right, what's next?
Up next, you have Becky Lynch taking on Sol Ruka for the WWE Intercontinental Championship, the women's one. They had a fabulous encounter on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it was just a quick little thing. It got to showcase Sol a little bit. This is interesting because Sol hasn't had a big win on the main roster yet. Yeah, she beat Becky by DQ. That's not really a win. She had a good match with Liv, and she had a really good match with Io. She's performing well. She beat Bayley at Saturday Night's Main Event back in December, but no main officially call up win, pinfall win. They have a chance here to kind of push her direction in an upward manner. I don't know though if she wins. I have my doubts.
As much as I want her to, I feel like it's a little early. Like, as decisive as it would be and as wonderful as it would be, and she's certainly deserving of it, I don't feel like she's there yet, if that makes sense. Like, I think honestly you need to build her a little bit more before you put a title on her.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like I feel like there needs to be a momentum swing. Like she's rising, but she's not peaking for this story to win the belt. Like, the story they're telling is Becky is like not taking her seriously because she hasn't done anything. So could slip in and surprise her and get the win. But there's part of me goes, yeah, but I can see Becky cheating to win. And then you put Sol on an actual run where she gets some heat behind her and momentum that where she's built winning and winning and winning. Because if we're going back to the, it's like we're going back to the Lyra feud, you know?
Yeah.
Where they traded it. And it's like, I don't want to see them trade it. I'd rather see her get the decisive win in the end rather than trying to trade the belt.
I feel like Becky cheating is cheap. and not in a good way. Like, I feel like they maybe rest on Becky cheating just a little bit too much sometimes. And with Sol coming off of a DQ victory to get the match, Becky cheating again to retain is just sort of, I don't think that's going to do what people want it to do. Like, if you want this to take off, if you want this to start to build momentum and heat, it really does need to be decisive. Like, essentially, Becky's point is being proven by now that Sol hasn't done anything. She doesn't have any major decisive victories. She has decisive victories on the roster. Like, she's had some really good matches. But, like, ultimately, she hasn't done anything. And so, really, what would put her on the map is beating Becky, which is, again, the whole point. But, like, I don't think Sol winning by DQ or Becky winning by DQ, like, is going to do what they want it to do. Unless... because I don't know how you book Sol coming out of that unless you have Sol just be like, get really pissed and she just jumps Becky and beats the shit out of Becky. Like, that's the only way I think you kind of recover that. But I don't, this is so hard to call. Because yeah, if Becky wins, the feud's dead.
Right. If it's clean. If it's clean, the feud's dead. If there's like feet on the ropes or handful of tights or whatever, feud continue. It's... because now that plea makes more the case of Sol win. Because, all right, Liv is your champ. She's your women's world champ, right? Mm-hmm. Her contender kind of got injured, so people on the internet are like, where are their stories for Rhea and Liv Morgan? They haven't defended a title in over 30 days. People are like, Rhea doesn't have a story. Like, she's had a story since she came out of WrestleMania. She was feuding with Fatal Influence. And Liv's story got injured. So yeah, they don't know what they're doing for Liv yet. Because the story they were telling got injured. It should have been Stephanie versus Liv here.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie got hurt. But anyway, my point was, if you take the belt off of Becky, does she go back and challenge for the belt? Or does Becky turn her focus elsewhere? Mainly Queen of the Ring to go to SummerSlam. Which would be an interesting turn of events. And... imagine we get Becky versus Charlotte in the finals of a Queen of the Ring in Saudi. That'd
be something.
That would be something. But it's like, what is Becky's focus and main goal coming if she loses? Because, like, is she going to stick in the IC title loop or is she going to go after something different? A Becky-Liv match doesn't excite me because we've seen it and they're both heels. Well, they could have Liv mini-feud with Bayley or Lyra at least to have get defend the titles anyway since they're feuding with Judgment Day. You can. But I'm just saying, my point was, there have been internet complaints of, they haven't defended the belt in 30 days. Like, it's like, stop. She's on TV every week. She'll feud with people. There's plenty of time. Internet's just dumb sometimes with their theories. They don't understand. They don't understand how booking works. When someone gets injured, you have to wait for story. Hey, impatient internet. Anyway, or if Sol loses here, is Sol Liv a more intriguing match at SummerSlam? Because I think, because that was a really good match the night after WrestleMania.
It was.
But I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, circling all around, I think you made more of a case for Sol winning without trying to. So I would go Sol beats Becky and wins the belt. And then Becky goes off to do something else or gets a rematch and then tries something.
Like, my only thing is Becky has had it for a while. And Becky, I love Becky. She's a great champion. She's a great heel. She's doing wonderful things with the character. And she's kind of found her groove again after coming back, which she's been back. But, like, you know, she's finally sort of like been hitting her groove again. And as much as I would like to see her keep the title and with everything else that we talked about, just so losing hurts her so badly. And I don't know how you recover her.
You recover her by having her win a bunch. And that's the thing. If she won a bunch, if they weren't telling the story where she's come up short and then hasn't won anything, her losing here wouldn't be a big deal because, like, okay, I lost. I had momentum. I lost. It happens. You fight back. But she hasn't got the momentum to, like,
I think,
push there. So it's like she has to win and then you go from there.
Yeah, I think this is, like, I think even though it feels early for her, a win over Becky would be the start of everything for her, which is the intention of the story. It's the payoff of the story is that, oh, you haven't done anything. You really haven't beat anyone. Sol beats Becky. Sol wins the title. Sol becomes the IC champion. She resets the division. That frees Becky up because you could have Becky take a run at Liv. You can do heel versus heel there. Where Becky challenges for the title. Sol kind of holds down the IC division for a while. Because I think we would be ready for another, like, Becky title run with the main title. Like, you need a strong challenger for Liv, and I just don't know if they have that right now. Ew, with Stephanie out, with Rhea gone.
Io's your next big challenge. It could be your next big challenger.
Yeah, but they don't have her there right now. They teased it when Rhea left, but they don't have it there.
Well, because she got married. Just lost she got married, so they kind of gave her a couple weeks off. So
she had to go on her honeymoon, I know, but still, like, she's not, even before that, she wasn't in a strong position to challenge against Liv. And I think you could just, until you can bring Io up, unless you do, the intention is you do Becky versus Io, and you have Becky build Io up for Liv, and then you have Io challenge.
Io wins Queen of the Ring. That's your setup.
Okay. I can live with that. But yeah, I think Sol wins. I have to.
Yeah, I'm going Sol as well. Even though logically it's too early.
Yeah. But sometimes that works out. We'll see. So, 8-ball. Becky. No, don't hit the plus sign. It is certain.
Will.
Wrestler 1.
Becky. Up next in tribal combat for the World Heavyweight Championship, you have Jacob Fatu challenging Roman Reigns for the title. If Roman wins, Jacob must acknowledge him and serve him, very similar to what they did with Jay. I expect full-on shenanigans in this.
Well, I mean, there can only be so much in terms of shenanigans, because I believe it's no interference.
From the Usos, but that doesn't mean you can't get somebody else to do it.
No, I mean anyone. I don't think anyone can interfere in it. It's straight up no DQ, but no interference, if I remember correctly.
Let's see.
I think it's mano and mano and the winner. You have to acknowledge the winner as the new tribal chief.
That sounds accurate, but that doesn't mean they can't, like, beat him up beforehand.
I mean, yeah, but they're not going to do that. This will be good. This will be the closing match of the show because it's a Roman match. All I gotta say is, if Roman wins, the story will literally become Bloodline 2.0 and will just be lazy booking, in my opinion.
I don't know. I mean, there is a degree of Bloodline 2.0, certainly, but I don't think Jacob is going to take it like a bitch like Jay did. Like, that's the difference between the two, and the story that they're telling is that Jacob doesn't give a fuck. And if he's going to keep fighting until they literally beat the fight out of him. That's the whole thing. Like, with Jay, it was, they had the match, and then Jimmy came back and Jimmy fought for Jay, and then Jimmy got beat, and they both got put in the Bloodline and were forced to be under Roman based on that story. With Jacob, it would force him to acknowledge and be under Roman. Jacob's not about to, you know, be brought to heel so easily. Yeah, he's still got to serve by Roman, and he's bound by blood and stipulation. Don't mean he got to be nice about it. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, Jay and Jimmy just kind of accepted their fate. I don't think Jacob's going to do that. I envision a lot of malicious compliance and just hands getting thrown. Like,
they have a hard time. They have a hard time with these stipulations. You know, they have this weird thing where they could book it. Like, it would be great storytelling if Roman lost.
That would be fabulous.
And he had to acknowledge Jacob as the new tribal chief. But the hard thing is, Jacob's not getting over as a heel. Like, the stipulation works where the babyface Roman, who was the tribal chief, that's why it would work better. It's like the babyface has to, like, kind of bite their tongue. Yeah, like, he's biting his tongue and all these things, and that's why it doesn't work if he doesn't win. Like, if Roman's acting more like, Roman's acting cocky, he's not acting, it's not being a heel, he's not doing things like. But Jacob's not getting any heat if he was the heel, because all Jacob's actions were supposed to be leading to heat, if you think about it, because he's laid out Roman Reigns, your babyface, multiple times. But he's Jacob Fatu. Everyone loves Jacob Fatu. This stipulation where you're bound to, like, serve underneath someone works. Saying you're making someone serve you is a definite. Yeah, but it's a definition. It is. But you're not the problem is, they're two baby faces. It just doesn't work. It worked great when Roman was the top heel, and it worked great when Solo was a heel in these spots. Like, the actions they're making for Jacob to put him under Roman work, but it's not going to get the right heat it should in either case. If Roman was in that position, it wouldn't get the heat. If Jacob's in that position, I wouldn't get the heat. Like, the stipulation doesn't fit for how the crowds are reacting. That's why it's weird. But I also don't see Roman losing this belt. Like, that's the problem. Like, I wouldn't call it lazy booking. I don't agree with that, Lament. I see it, but I don't agree with it. Because right now, LA Knight's just spinning like a top, and they're trying to find something.
Yeah. He's in a holding pattern, and they don't know how to get him out of it. That's the problem. The only way I can see this going is Jacob essentially making Roman's life hell after he loses, where it is, like I said, very much malicious compliance, very much just being the most giant pain in Roman's ass that he's ever had. And he makes Roman regret doing what he's done. He makes the Usos regret all of this, which leads to eventually another match between the two where Jacob could win his freedom. I don't know. That's the only way I see out of this, because if you like just have them all fall back in line with Roman, then yeah, it's Bloodline 2.0 and nobody really wants it, but yeah. You can't argue that it was the most successful faction or one of the most successful factions they've ever had, right? So
like, it's hard not to go back to it in some ways, because that's what wrestling does in general. How many times did the Four Horsemen come back together in multiple iterations in the 90s? How many versions of the NWO did we get? By the way, the most ridiculous NWO story that came out this week. That was fantastic. Them wanting to back in the COVID time, they wanted to re-bring back the NWO with Sheamus and Shinsuke and Lars Sullivan as the
jacked up.
And they were going to have someone from the NWO probably Nash, I would think.
It'd have to be Nash.
Or Waltman kind of introduced the new NWO, but they couldn't pass the COVID test.
COVID saved us, y'all.
We're going to get a new NWO. That was the most ridiculous story of the week. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, they can always go back to factions that work. Bloodline work. It's not... You said it's lazy. It's not lazy. It's knowing what works and profiting off of it. And they're not fully going back there.
Not yet.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't work either way.
They've booked themselves in a corner. That's the problem. And they don't want to turn Roman back heel because they've turned him face. But Roman's supposed to be the heel in this, and he's playing the baby face, and Jacob's supposed to be the baby face, he's playing the heel. Like, it doesn't, what they've done does not make any sense. This is basically somebody living out their fanfic dreams with Roman and Jacob. Okay, let's just call this exactly what this is. Somebody on the writing team has a kink, and awesome. They're playing this out again.
Yeah.
Exactly the same way with Jacob and Roman. I don't know who you are, but give us your AO3 name so we can get your shit. But that's what this really is. Like, I don't know after Jacob loses where you do this, how you recover this, other than it is the Bloodline. Like, the whole Jacob making Roman's life hell is just a different way to do it, where it's not exactly how the events of the past happened before. That's the thing.
Also, like, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, like, the other difference in this, like, in general, Roman as the champion, people will gravitate to him because they've done a wonderful job of building Roman as a leader, like beyond what he was in the Shield. Like, Roman can now stand on his own, either solo or in a group, and you know definitively he is the leader of that group. That's what would be different about this version of the Bloodline, is you don't have like Heyman guiding Roman yet. Now, if they get Heyman back, then that's just gonna be bullshit. But like, you have Roman leading the group, you have Roman making the decisions and the shots and the calls, and he's doing everything. If it becomes a full group, like the Usos could stay out of it and it could just be Roman and Jacob, and the Usos are just kind of there and they flit in and out and they help Roman when he needs help, but beyond that, they're on their own. So like, that is a way you could do it differently, where it is just Roman and Jacob, and you have that, them just kind of snarling at each other, and Jacob has to listen to him owing to the terms of the contract, because the way that, like, if he loses, Roman's going to hold it to him is basically like, I'm going to take your money, I'm going to take your job, I'm going to take everything you have, everything that you value, everything you have built yourself into, and I'm going to destroy that, and I'm going to put you back in that really dark place that you came out of, and I'm going to make you climb all the way back up from the bottom if I ever let you out of it. And that's kind of how they're going to do that. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and call my shot right now. So like, you can do some stuff with it, but it's like, again, it's putting Roman in a heel position when he shouldn't be.
Okay.
Unless they're planning to turn Roman back heel, which maybe.
No, the crowd won't do it. Because it's really hard to get heat right now when everyone loves doing the ones and everything like that. Couple things. I want to address LeMann. I agree with you, LeMann. It would be great if Jacob won.
Yes, agreed.
I back up your point 100%. They're not doing it, but I like the idea of it being unpredictable tribal chief.
Roman being under Jacob would be something to watch. But it would be different.
I don't see them doing it. No. And to address that last point, yeah, he sounded like he did before because now he's being threatened. So when someone's being threatened, you fall back on your old ways.
Like, here's the thing that everybody needs to remember about the end of the bloodline. Roman never learned his lesson. That was the one thing about the end of the bloodline. Roman never learned his lesson. He never really got his full comeuppance for everything he did. He lost the title and he fucked off. And that is what he did. And that was really the end of the core bloodline. And everything else imploded around Heyman with Roman gone. And then Roman came back after the fallout was over and he had to face the music with Jimmy and Jay. And there was a little fallout there and Roman had to eat a little crow there. But ultimately, Roman never learned his lesson for being an asshole for 5 years. For 4 years or however long it was. He never got that comeuppance. So of course he's going to come back to that and be exactly as he was before. Like that's not going to change because he never was given that means to change. It's just, I lost, I'm going to leave. I don't have to be here anymore. So like that makes sense in terms of the character why he's doing that. It's just now he can get away with it as a babyface because it's Roman being Roman. As opposed to Roman being a heel, it's just Roman. It's part of his personality. See, it's crazy that they keep addressing it like with Punk, yet they still have the Usos fall in line.
I have an easy answer for that. It's very easy. One word, because I want to put a bow on this. Because we've got other matches to get to. Family.
Yep.
That's it. Family sticks together.
Yep.
Anyway, who wins?
I gotta say Roman.
Acknowledge your tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
Sorry, Jacob. We'd love to see you win. It'd be awesome if he won, but I don't see them moving. With them being overseas, with them getting ready to head to Saudi next month, with SummerSlam coming, I just don't see them putting that title on Jacob right now. There's too much going on right now for them to do that. So, sorry, Roman. Or sorry, Jacob. 8-ball. Jacob? Most likely.
Wrestler 2.
Jacob Fatu.
All right. For the Women's Championship on SmackDown, you have Rhea Ripley taking on Jade Cargill. This is a return match. So we have Jade trying to get her win back from Rhea after losing the title to her. This feud has been bubbling. It's been building. We had a great match on Saturday Night Main Event. I fully expect the Baddies 2.0 to get involved. I expect Rhea to potentially get help from Charlotte and Alexa on this. Which, by the way, WWE, can you stop having Rhea collect wives? She has a harem at this point. Like, God damn. Good for her. I love that for her, by the way. Not judging. I wish it was me. Anyway, I think it's safe to say Rhea's gonna win. I don't see them moving that title off of her just yet. Not with, again, everything that's on the horizon.
It'll be a solid rematch. They have a solid match at WrestleMania. Rhea retain. Simple and easy.
It's okay. It's okay that Rhea's your hall pass, Matt. We listen and we don't judge here. I think it's safe to say Rhea is a lot of people's hall passes. Just how it is. Just Rhea. And last, we have to do the inanimate objects. I almost skipped it. Okay. 8-ball, Jade. That looked good.
Wrestler 1.
Rhea. Okay. And now, your last match for the Undisputed WWE Championship, you have Cody Rhodes taking on Gunther. Is it wrong? Is it really, 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 really super duper wrong? I want Gunther to win this match just because I'm kind of bored of Cody as champion.
Not wrong, because you've built Gunther to a point where he shouldn't be losing.
Nope.
But what do you do with Cody?
Maybe have Cody go through some hard times.
Yeah, but what's hard times for QB1?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
I mean, he just came off of WrestleMania where he got punted in the face and his eye was swollen shut and he's still wrestling.
That's not healthy, Cody. You should have taken a rest and taken care of that. I'm sure they made him, but it's not healthy.
It's, of all the matches, this one is the only one that I could see an ending where it doesn't end end with an actual winner.
It doesn't end clean.
Doesn't end clean. It could be a DQ. It's the only one.
I can see that.
Because you can get to the next match. WWE has money on the table for SummerSlam. If that's the direction they go, where the winner of King of Ring gets to fight the champion of their brand. I assume whoever wins men's King of the Ring is going to go Raw to fight Roman, because I think CM Punk and Cody's like, that's a big SummerSlam match. For the title, like that's the move to make. I don't never listen to what Randy says on Twitter. He's just covers his ass. I'm just milking my back injury, but milking it. He's hurt and he's covering it by saying he's just milking it. I don't know if you run it. Like, do you run Cody, Randy? Back at SummerSlam? I don't know. Randy coming up, winning King of the Ring? Maybe you do it that way? I don't know.
I think it might be a little bit too early to run Cody and Randy back, just because that was WrestleMania and we all know how everybody felt about that. Even the match was fine, but like I feel like you need to do something to jolt it. Because no offense to Cody. Like, Cody has done a wonderful job of carrying both brands on his back and being QB1 and being the guy and replacing John Cena and doing all the things, right? He's the face of the brand. He's achieved everything he could ever want, right? This was his dream. The problem is what happens after the happily ever after, right? And it's a question that they have been trying to solve ever since Cody got his happily ever after. And it's not anything that they can fix, because they've already told the epic story and they don't have another one and they can't find it, which is amazing that they cannot find another epic story to sort of engross Cody in and carry him through, right? Like, you would think with all the history that Cody Rhodes has in WWE with a number, including Randy Orton, that they would be able to find that next great classic tale for him. And it just doesn't exist. And I'm going to say it, even though it's laughable that they would do it, but has Cody as a face run its course? I know they will never turn him heel because he's the John Cena replacement, but does Cody, like, is the only way to sort of jolt Cody out of the rut that he's in is to turn him heel?
No.
Because, like, he's run his course as a babyface. There's nothing else they can do with him.
No. That's incorrect. That's being,
what do you mean it's incorrect?
He has not run his course as a babyface.
Who's left?
It's not who's left. It's who they need to make. Because turning heels, anybody. Because turning Cody heel doesn't change the lack of... If you get rid of the babyface, you're still missing the babyface. Because if you turn Cody heel, who's replacing Cody? It's a hard answer.
It's a very hard answer.
So turning Cody, you're going to, throw Phil into that spot? Okay, that's a stopgap. You need someone to step into that spot. They don't have that person. They need to make more heels for Cody. They need to, if this was the attitude, Eric Gunther wins, and then Cody fights his way back and wins his fourth WWE championship in a couple months. That's the way that works, right? That's the way wrestling booking gets done. Just seen in AEW, Max lost the belt to Darby, spent a month trying to get a title shot back, got it back on Saturday because the heel won the belt back. But with the success AEW has, they have enough baby faces to work with the heel champion, and they had enough heels and some baby faces to get Darby's reign over for a month. Right now, WWE needs to make more heels for Cody Rhodes, and they haven't done so because in the WWE universe, people that are trying to make heels, the fans get behind and make them baby faces. The prime example of that, whoop that Trick.
Yep.
Because Trick Williams is a heel who's getting babyface cheered. Because Trick Williams should be a heel. Want to know why Endeavor TKO got involved in WrestleMania? Because Randy Orton wasn't getting booed. Because Randy Orton should have got booed, but he was cheered. And then they started to boo Cody. The Cody character did nothing wrong to get booed.
But it's a sign from the fans that they're tired of him.
No.
That should have been a wake-up call to him. To them.
But guess what's happened since? He's been cheered.
Right, because Randy's a bigger babyface than Cody at this point.
Right, but there's no... But again, turning someone heel in the WWE universe, and we just spent 20 minutes on the Roman Jacob thing. One of them has to be a heel, and no one's getting over as the heel. All Jacob's actions were supposed to be heel actions, but they got monster babyface reactions, and then the babyface still gets babyface reactions, so you're just getting big old cheers. It's hard in 2026 to get a proper heel over, because everyone chants when a heel does something dastardly to the babyface. What do they chant? One more time. One more time. And then the heel has to annihilate the babyface once again. And you're not getting the heat.
What does it say about us as a society that we cheer the villains?
That's the culture. That's exactly the culture. We cheer the bad guy. It starts at the... Go political. That starts at the top. You have Ricky Starks, but they need way more time to build him up because he's... getting no reaction fans right now. You got possibly Sammy in the wings, but they've teasing get going full heel. But they just did. I'm saying Starks doesn't matter. They just did Cody Sammy. Sammy's gonna get over as a heel because the fans got tired of cheering him, even though he was in the right. Ricky needs to percolate, and over time he will.
Yeah.
They're good. He'll get his reactions when in time, because he'll be able to talk the talk, and he'll be a good. He's not a main eventer. He's your mid card guy, but there's nothing wrong with him being a mid card guy because you need him. It's hard. It's like you gotta build the heels. You gotta find a way to get them unlikable, because that's the only way. It's the only way to tell the classic storytelling. But that's not being a real. That's not a heel. Like he's getting booed, but he's not a heel, and it's hard, and that's the struggle.
I think the problem is to build a heel in 2026. You do have to have them do something entirely deplorable, and where that line sits is well outside the bounds of what would be acceptable, especially in the WWE universe. And I think that's part of the problem, is the heels are bad guys, but they're cool bad guys, right? Like, they're the cool villains that you want to cheer for. And they can't go as dastardly or deplorable or evil as what they need to make you have that, make you essentially despise them. I think the one that's like kind of doing it the best might be Liv, but even Liv is getting cheered, and that's the problem.
Liv has her fan base. Everyone has their fan base. Solo was a great heel. Solo's still a great heel, but Solo's an upper mid carder. He's not a main eventer, but that's okay.
Dom.
He fills in when he needs to. Dom is a great example of an upper mid carder who gets booed all the time, but also had a run as a babyface unwillingly because the fans just wanted to cheer him even when he was still doing heel stuff.
Yeah.
Dom got too cool for the boos, and then it cooled off, and now he's back to being booed.
Like, I think the problem is, where is the line for different characters, and are they willing to go there with it? And the general answer is no. Like, Gunther's kind of another one that they've done a good job because they found the line with him and they were able to take him across it to the point that people booed him. MJF would be something to boo in WWE. They would never let MJF do. They would never.
MJF can't be MJF in WWE.
No, it's too PG for him. That's why he works in AEW, but he would never work because they would never let him say half the shit he says. And that's part of the problem. Like, MJF's whole gimmick is he's just literally an asshole to everybody. That would not fly in WWE in 2026, and that's part of the problem. That's where where AEW does have the edge on WWE, is that they are more edgy, so they do more, so they are able to push that line a little bit harder with their heels and with their faces to make that distinction better. WWE, because of the family PG environment, they can't push that as hard. Now, granted, they have been pushing the envelope the last few years. They have been going beyond what they would before, but it's still not on the level of what AEW was willing to do. And that's kind of the difference between the two brands. Even with Netflix, they are not willing to push the envelope as far as they could. Because here's the problem. They're on Netflix now. They tend to move platforms every few years. So while they're on Netflix now, they may not be on Netflix in 4 to 5 years. And the marketability of WWE is how much ad revenue and how many eyeballs they can put on their product for those platforms, and how much money those platforms are going to make off of WWE. That is AEW's problem. One of them is that AEW is having a difficult time attracting high-end ad revenue, let's say. They can get it, but they're having a difficult time attracting it because of what goes on the product. Companies are not willing to attach themselves to brands that have a lot of swearing, that have a lot of blood, that have a lot of everything, right? They want something that is family friendly, that a lot of people are going to watch. That's why WWE can get brands like Snickers. They can get Domino's. They can get all of the household names because they have watered themselves down enough that they are friendly enough while still edgy to bring in those brands. That's the difference. And that's why you will never see WWE push beyond where they are right now, because they want to keep those brand partnerships. That's what's keeping them in business, is they're kind of going beyond the gates and the TV deals, and what they're relying on, and I think a large part, is the brand sponsorships.
So
that's where they're making their money.
Couple things. They have a 10-year deal valued with an opt-out of 5, but I don't think Netflix is going to opt out. They're on board. Also, again, Netflix bought up. They didn't buy the TV-14 product. They bought the WWE product.
Yep.
They could say and do whatever they want, but WWE is still a PG company. Can they go over step lines? Yes. But it's you gotta work the room, and yes, sponsorships play a big part in it. You have KO as a great heel, but he's injured. Correct. Drew is a great heel, but he and Cody have run their course. Correct.
Yep.
You have Damian Priest, but he's in a feud and in the face right now. You might need a heel champion, since there's more faces right now than heels on SmackDown. You do need a heel champion, but the heel champion's not Gunther, because Gunther, who's Gunther fighting? Who you running at Gunther? The answer's no one.
Right now it's Cody, because that's all you got for him.
That's the problem. So that's why it's like, if you put the belt on Gunther, you need to build up more talent. And they're doing a good job of slowly. They're introducing new characters on television. Oba's working, Javon's working, Trick is working in terms of getting new characters on television. Ricky Saints, you're working him in on television. Ethan Page, you're working him in on television. Ethan Page is a really good heel. But he's not a main event heel. But you're building the undercard perfectly. You gotta get the people elevated to the main event. And that's what WWE has to work on, because they're transitioning the guys who were in the main event out of it in the next few years. Which is why Bron Breakker is being elevated when he stays elevated, and when Oba's being elevated, and Trick Williams and all these people, they're introducing a lot of new characters. He could talk the talk in the main event, but he's not going to be the guy to carry your company at the top level.
Not right now.
He's good in a role where he's great in the talking role, but I don't think he'll ever get to the point where he's the main event guy. I don't think they're going to build a brand around him. I think he could do it. I believe it. I don't think they see it. I think they see him in a spot where he could fight the main eventers, but not be the main eventer.
I feel like they view him as Miz 2.0.
And that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing, because the Miz has been sitting pretty for a long time. I feel like Ethan is going to end up kind of on the fringe of the main event, and he's going to be the good quality heel. He's going to do the comedy shtick, because he's very versatile. So you can have him be serious, but you can also have him do comedy. You can have him do the brand endorsements, like he's going to be really good for that. There's a lot of things you can do with him, but I think in terms of him being like on Cody's level, I don't think he will ever get there, unfortunately. Like, does he have the talent to do it? Yes, absolutely he does, but I don't think that's where he's going to land. In terms of the order of how they're stacking things. Now, that could change, because, like, say, Braun doesn't pan out, right? Because Braun's, they've got him on the rise again, but he's kind of been a little bit of a struggle. And so, like, potentially Braun doesn't pan out. You could slot somebody else in there, but there's also a line behind Braun of people who are waiting for that spot, right? So it's like, I just don't see Ethan slotting in there, and we don't know how much longer Miz is going to be around. So yeah, they could easily just put Ethan in Miz's place if Miz decides to retire and not have a lot of disruption. And that's fine.
Yes, LeMans. Ethan Page is better than Miz in the ring. Yes. That's not it. But Miz,
there's a lot of people who are better than Miz in the ring, but Miz deserves flowers.
He does. Miz is a great worker in terms of he's worked every role they can ever put him in front of him. He's main evented. He's mid-carded. He's opened the show. He's carried the brand. He's carried television shows. He's their corporate face when he needs to be the corporate face. Miz got himself over in an environment where he probably shouldn't have got himself over, but he worked his ass off to get there.
Miz has been one of the most consistent performers they have ever had. Like, I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about, and we've talked to him about it, that the only time away he's really ever had is when he's gone to shoot the movies and his children. But like, that's it. That's the only time he's really ever been away. He's been very, very, very fortunate that he has not suffered a lot of injuries. He's been incredibly healthy. He's been very consistent. And he's one of the safest workers they have. And he's kind of being set up in that position that he's going to make the new guys. And he's going to do the comedy stuff, but he can slot right back into the serious stuff if he needs to. Like, Miz, give Miz his props. He's not the best wrestler by half. I will absolutely agree with you on that. But Miz deserves every accolade he has earned, because he has earned them. He wasn't handed shit in that company, and he worked his ass off to get where he is. So
the Miz was able to get himself heel heat whenever he needed heel.
Yeah. Like, the Miz can turn heel on a dime.
And he works heel to this day, and he works great at doing it. And that's why Danhausen is getting over, thanks to
The Miz.
The Miz. Anyway, circling back, because we're tangenting and we got to wrap this up.
Yes.
Who you got?
I'm going to say Cody. I don't want it, but Cody. At this point, it's LOL, Cody wins. All right, 8-Ball. Gunther? Very doubtful.
Wrestler 2.
Gunther.
Okay. All right. By the way, thank you, 8-Ball, for being cooperative tonight. I appreciate you. Good job. But with that, we're done.
We are, in fact, done. Saturday night. Chat, it's CB Radio. I have an idea planned. Something happened this week. Maybe we do our own version. Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And it happened tonight, too. That's a hint.
It wasn't the Splody Splod, was it?
No. No, no. It's something I can make a game out of.
Ah, okay.
Sunday night, they review Clash in Italy at 10 p.m. Eastern on WrestleTalk Radio. As a reminder, the Raw Post Show's on hiatus until they're back in the States. But we'll be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, talk all things Clash in Italy. It's at Rock Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, just search the Rock Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock or
Min's Imward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Overwatch, South Park, Typical Gamer, new battle passes, and more. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@Linsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linsward0. While you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, youtube.com/MBG1211. That's MBG Films. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we say hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.